B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Chof Aleph. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Omud Beis, and we're continuing with some of the halachas to do with the Pasei Birois. Says the Gemara, Omar Reb Yitzchok Bar Ado, Lo Yhutru Pasei Birois Elo Lo Oylei Regolim Bilvad. The only ones that were allowed to use, or the only reason that the Chachomim permitted us to use the Pasei Birois, an area which does not have any form of proper walls, but is relying completely just on four L-shaped corner posts, was only for the sake of the Oilei Regolim, the pilgrims, those that were going up to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year for Aliyah LeRegel. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, did we not learn in a Braise Lo Yhutru Pasei Birois Elo Legabei Behema Bilvad? Did we not learn that the Chachomim only allowed us to use the Pasei Birois in order to give animals to drink, not for the people that were coming up to be Oilei Regolim that they should be able to drink on the way? Answers the Gemara, My Behema, Behemas Oilei Regolim. It means that the main purpose that the Chachomim allowed us to use Pasei Birois was for Oilei Regolim, but not for they themselves. We'll soon see, they themselves could have found another solution, but the animals, for them to drink, there's no way of them going into the boir or ba'er. They have to have the water drawn for them, and therefore we have to turn the area around the boir into a Roshus Hayochid. Aval Odom, but the people themselves that were coming to be Oilei Regolim, Metapeis v'Oile, Metapeis v'Yered, they can climb up and climb down inside the boir, inside the ba'er, in the pit, in the well. The walls were relatively close to each other, and they could just hold themselves in between the walls, lower themselves down, drink. They were in a Roshus HaYochid, and then come back up and go out into the Roshus HaRabim. There's no need to actually draw the water from the Roshus HaYochid and take it into the Roshus HaRabim. For the animals, however, where they could not go into the boir, one would have to take the water out, and that's why the Chachomim allowed the Pasei Birois to be relied on. Asks the Gemara, Eini, V'ha'omar b'yitzchok omar v'yudah mashmuel. The only type of water that you were allowed to carry around the Pasei Birois for was Be'er Maim Chaim, was a spring, was a very high quality, significant type of water, which is called Maim Chaim, spring water, not just stagnant water sitting in a boir. We've discussed this a little bit in a previous sugya, at the beginning of the Perek. And if it needs to be spring water, people, for humans, it makes a difference if it's good, significant, comfortable water to drink, or if it's just stagnant water. For animals, it makes no difference what they're drinking. So if it says that you're only allowed to use the Pasei Birois, they only allowed us to use those type of mechitzos called Pasei Birois, if it's Be'er Maim Chaim, if it's spring water, does that not tell us that they allowed it specifically for people, not only for animals? If it's water that's going to be used exclusively, or if the Pasei Birois were allowed exclusively for the animals, then what's the difference if it's stagnant water, collected water, or if it's spring water, which is flowing? Answers the Gemara, Ba'inon midi dechazi le'odom. It's true that the main reason that they allowed these type of mechitzas, which are very weak type of mechitzos, halachically speaking, was for the animals, but the type of water that would allow these mechitzos has to be a type of water that would be fit and quality water even for human beings. And the Mefarshim discuss what have human beings got to do with this water that are going to be drawn for the animals. But either way, in order to allow this type of mechitza, it has to be that the hekef, the surrounding of this area, is one which is serving or could potentially serve a human. Continues the Gemara, Gufa. Lo yhutru pasei birois elo lebehema bilvad. We saw before, that's how we started in the Gemara today, that the Chachomim only allowed us to rely on pasei birois for the sake of the animals. Aval odom metapis v'oile metapis v'yered, but a human being doesn't need to rely on the water to be drawn from the Be'er. He can go into the Be'er himself and climb out, climb in and then climb out. The Mefarshim ask why Metapis Va'oila is before Metapis Va'yorod. Why is climbing out mentioned before climbing in? You first go in, then you go out. V'im hoyu rochovim, the Braisa continues, if the well is very wide, and then he cannot brace himself on the walls of the Be'er, how's a person going to get into the Be'er? If it's a very narrow Be'er, he can climb in and out by bracing, by pushing against both sides of the Be'er, of the well. If it's very wide, he cannot do that. Afilu lo'odom nami, in that case, even for a human being, for an odom, one's allowed to draw the water from the Be'er and take the water into the area around the Be'er, which is encircled by these pasei birois. V'lo yimale odom mayim, v'yitein lifnei behemtoi. This is a few words of Braisa that we've already mentioned a few times on Daf Chof Amud Beis. A person is not allowed to fill up a utensil with water from the Be'er, v'yitein lifnei behemtoi, and to hold it in front of his animal and hold the utensil while the animal is drinking. Aval mamalehu, he can fill up the utensil, v'shoichfich lifnei behema, and he can pour it into the trough or pour it out in front of the animal, v'shoichim eileo, and the animal can drink by itself. Asks the Gemara, if the only time you're ever allowed to, or the only way you're ever allowed to give your animals to drink is by pouring out the water in front of them, you're never actually allowed to hold the utensil while the animal's drinking. Maskif lo Rav Onon. Rav Onon is going to ask a question on that. Im kein mai ho'ilu pasei birois. How has the leniency of pasei birois helped us? Asks the Gemara, ma ho'ilu? I don't understand the question. You're asking what the pasei birois have helped? L'malu ismehen, in order to be able to draw water from the well and take the water with a utensil or without a utensil, to take the water to the area outside the Be'er. The area outside the Be'er without the pasei birois was Urshus Arabim. The Be'er was Urshus Ayochid. Of course you need the pasei birois. Elo, what he meant to say was, my ho'il roisha v'rubo shel poro. We saw in the Mishnah, and we discussed it at length on Daf Chof, that you need the animal to be roishay v'ruboy. Two amos of the animal has to be, that means his head and most of his body has to be within the area considered a rishus hayochid. Otherwise, you're not allowed to give him the water. If you're never allowed to hold the utensil with water while the animal is drinking, then I never need the animal to be roishay v'ruboy in the rishus hayochid. I can draw the water, place it in the trough, or place the utensil on the ground and let the animal drink it. Me'eleo, as the Gemara says. Who cares if it's Rosh Ruba in the Rosh Hayochid or not? Worst comes to worst, the animal will drag the water out, will drag the utensil out, and so what? A person is not allowed to drag it out. A person will only come to remove the kli from the Rosh Hayochid to the Rosh Arabim if he's holding the utensil. And if you're never allowed to hold the utensil, then why do you ever need the two amis? Omar Abaya, Abaya said, "Hochab mayaskinon." These two lines in the Braisa that tells us that you're not allowed to hold the kli and take the kli to the animal and feed it and let it drink is not talking about holding utensil with an animal in the Roshus Hayochid or in the Pasei Birois. We're talking about a completely different case where, as we discussed at length, we're not going to discuss it again now, where Be'evus ha'oimid b'roshus ha'rabim, gavoya asora v'rocha v'arbo, v'roishe nichnas lebein apasim, something we discussed twice on Daf Chof Amud Beis, where you have you're removing the water from the well in the Roshus Hayochid, the newly formed Roshus Hayochid, thanks to the Pasei Birois, and then you intended to take this utensil of water and lift it over a trough that was joining the edges of the Pasei Birois to a home where there was an animal that was sticking his head out of that home, and you wanted to give the animal to drink that way, and you were, even though you were leaving the confines of the Pasei Birois, and the area within the Pasei Birois is Roshus Hayochid, but you're not actually taking the utensil out into the Roshus Arabim because you intended to hold the utensil over the trough, which was itself Roshus Hayochid, until reaching the animal. And that, the Braisa says, you're not allowed to do that for concerns that we discussed on Daf Chof Amud Beis. And all you're allowed to do is you can pour the water into the trough and let the animal drink it on its own. And then the Gemara on Daf Chof already explained, and others actually put it into the text in our Gemara here, explained what our concern was. Are we concerned you're going to take the utensil from over the Rosh HaYochid into the Rosh HaRabim? Was our concern you're going to then take it back from the Rosh HaRabim into the Rosh HaYochid? That was discussed at length. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Omar Rav. This is another halacha related to the Pasei Birois. Ein Burganin Bebovel. Burganin are huts, temporary types of huts, or huts that were used for temporary type of use. And the halacha of the Burganin is as follows. We know that a person who's in a city, in a town, when on the onset of Shabbos, is allowed to walk around in the town as much as he wants. We're not talking about carrying now. Carrying, he's restricted to the halachas of Chotzer and Eruv and etc. And Muvois, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, that's been discussed. But within a town, just walking around, you're allowed to walk in a town with no restriction. Beyond the town, you're allowed to walk 2,000 amos, not more. That's the halacha of Tchum. From where do you measure the edge of the town? From 70 and a bit amos from beyond the town, that's called the belt around the town, that still belongs to the town. From 70 and a bit amos beyond the edge of the town, that's where you start counting the 2,000 amos. Now, what happens if before the end of the 70 amos you have a hut? And we're soon going to see not only a hut, if you have some remnants of a wall, some part of a wall that's hardly serving a purpose, but it's a wall or something that is used somewhat or was used somewhat, then we start counting from there. That means any area, any type of dwelling that is found within the 70 and a bit amos from the town becomes an extension of the town, and you start counting from there. That's called burganin. Those are huts, are one of the examples of a type of a structure that extends the town. So if you have one of these huts every 70 amos, you'll be able to walk until beyond the huts, 70 amos and then 2,000 amos. However, this halacha of burganin does not apply in Bovel. In Chutz La'aretz, otherwise, it seems that it does apply according to this Manda Oma. In Bovel, it doesn't. V'loi pasei birois, this chiddush that we've been learning about in this perek, that you can turn Rosh HaRabim into Rosh HaYochid by merely putting four posts, one on each corner, and they only allowed it for Oilei Regolim, as we saw, and in Chutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to rely on a halachically weak type of wall called Pasei Birois, only in Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Burganin Bebovel Loi, why is one not allowed to rely on these huts to extend the boundaries of a city, of a town in Bovel? Deshchicha Bidka, because there are some very big floods, flash floods, that are very prevalent in Bovel. Bovel is a low down place, and there's a lot of floods, and these huts are easily washed away, and therefore no significance is given to these huts, and therefore they cannot serve as an extension of a town. Pasei birois b'chutz la'aretz loy. Why can you not rely on the pasei birois in chutz la'aretz? D'lo yishchicha masivta, because we assume that in the same way as the chachomim allowed using pasei birois for the mitzvah of doing aliyah l'regel, that the people doing aliyah l'regel should be able to drink and the animals should be able to drink, that so too the same would apply in chutz la'aretz if there would be people who are traveling l'dvar mitzvah. However, since there were not many yeshivas, Torah institutions in chutz la'aretz, and therefore there were not a lot of people that were on their travels l'dvar mitzvah, and therefore the Chachomim saw no need to rely on this leniency and allow pasei birois. Aval ipcha of dinon, the opposite does apply, which means that in chutz la'aretz, one was allowed to rely on burganin, providing it's not in Bovel, and in Bovel, one was allowed to rely on pasei birois, because even though in chutz la'aretz there were not a lot of yeshivas and not a lot of people traveling from city to city to learn, in Bovel that was not the case. There were a lot of people that were there traveling to learn, and therefore the same leniencies that were given to the Oilei Regolim were given to the people in Bovel. Continues the Gemara, Ikka de Omra. There's another version with a slightly different rulings, or very different rulings, from the one we just learnt now. Omra birmi bar abba omarav, ein burgenin upase birois. Neither burgenin, these temporary huts, nor the passe birois, are allowed to be used. Loi bebovel, not in bovel, v'loi bechutz laretz. It means, not like we said now, that only the burgenin could only not be used in bovel, and passe birois only not be used in chutz laretz to the exclusion of bovel, but the opposite was allowed to be used. Here we're saying, in this version, you're not allowed to rely not on burgenin, not on passe birois, not in bovel and not in chutz laretz. And the Gemara is going to explain. Burgenin bebovel lo yishchichi, as we saw before, the reason you're not allowed to rely on burgenin in bovel was because of the shchicha bidki, because of the floods that would wash them away. Bechutz laretz nami loy, in the rest of chutz laretz, where you do not have these floods, and in the first version we said that in chutz laretz you're allowed to rely on burgenin, this version says you're not allowed to. Why? The shchicha ganva, there are many thieves there, and since there are so many thieves there, people are not going to rely on these huts, which are not very protected. They're not going to store anything in them. They're not going to use them in a way that a normal person would use as some form of residence. And therefore, they are totally insignificant and cannot be used as an extension of a town. Passe birois bebovel loy. You're not allowed to use passe birois in bovel. Why? Even though we said that there were many yeshivas there and people were traveling from place to place within bovel, and therefore they should have a similar status to the Oilei Regolim in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chachomim should have allowed Pasei Birois, says the Gemara, no. The Shchicha Maya, since there was plenty water in Bovel, we mentioned the floods before, there's plenty water there, and therefore they had other ways of quenching their thirst and not needing to resort to Pasei Birois to draw water from the wells. B'chutz Loretz Nami Loi, and the rest of Chutz Loretz, the reason that they did not rely on Pasei Birois, as we saw before, Deloi Yishchicha Masifta, since there were not yeshivas and places, institutions where they learned Torah so much, and people were not traveling so much Lidvar Mitzvah, and therefore the Chachomim did not allow us to use this leniency of Pasei Birois. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Chizda, Lemori Bereder of Huna, Bereder of Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Omri, he said to him, that means Rav Chizda said to Rav Huna, he said to him, Omri, people say about you that Asisu, that you would travel mi Barnash, from the town of Barnash, lebei Knishta de Daniel, until the shul where Daniel would daven in Bovel, to have a tlosa parasa. This was a distance of 3 parasois, and this was way beyond the edge of the town of Barnash. B'Shabta, and you would do this on Shabbos. Amai Samchisu. What did you rely on to be able to walk such a long distance? A burgenin? Were you relying on burgenin? Ha'omar Avua de Avua, the father of your father, said Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, and we saw this before, Ein burgenin bebovel. We're not allowed to rely on burgenin in Bovel, and you're in Bovel. How could you rely on these huts to walk such a long distance? Nofak v'achvelei hani metvosa. So what Mori did, this was a story of Rav Chizda said to Mori, Braid Rav Huna, not to Rav Huna. It was Rav Chizda said to Mori, the son of Rav Huna, the son of Yirmiyah bar Abba. And it was Yirmiyah bar Abba that said, that was the grandfather of Mori, said in the name of Rav that you're not allowed to rely on burgenin. Now Mori returned and showed to Rav Chizda, he went outside, Nofak, he went outside, Va'achvel, and he showed him Hana Mutvosa, he showed him the ruins of towns that were previously there, and there were still some walls that remained from the previous towns, and they were there beyond this place of Barnash. And there were no 70 amas that were totally empty without one of these ruins. And therefore he showed him, look, all the way from Barnash till the place, till the shul of where Daniel davened, all along there were remnants, remains of these ruins, and therefore I had an extension and I was not relying on the burgenin on huts. The Mivla on Beshivin Amo Veshiraim, these ruins, they were within 70 and a bit amos from Barnash every 70 and a bit amis, and therefore I could rely on them. And now the Gemara is going to quote a few things from Rav Chisda in the name of Mori Barmar. Omer Rav Chisda, Dorash Mori Barmar. Mori Barmar explained al derech remez the following pasuk. Maidich Sivit says in the pasuk, L'chol tichlo, literally translated, to every goal, Ro'isi Kates, I've seen a limit. Rechava mitzvaysecha mo'id. But your commandments, the mitzvah, they are very, very broad. Dovor ze omroi David v'loi pirushoi. David HaMelech himself said such a thing to Pasuk, but he didn't explain, he didn't define what was so broad about the mitzvahs. Omroi Iyov. Iyov also mentioned such a concept, the breadth of Torah, v'loi pirushoi, and he didn't explain it to us. Omroi Yechezkel. Yechezkel Anovi also made mention of such a concept, v'loi pirushoi, and he also didn't explain it to us. Ad shebo Zecharia ben Idoi, until Zecharia ben Idoi also made mention of this, u'pirushoi, and he did explain it to us. And the Gemara is now going to explain. Omroi David v'loi pirushoi. What did David say? Where did David say or make mention of the breadth of Torah and mitzvahs without explaining it? The Chassid says in the Pasuk we started with, L'chol tichlo ro'isi kates, to every goal I have seen a limit, R'chova mitzvaysecha o'moid, but your Torah and mitzvahs are very wide. And David did not tell us what's wide about the Torah and mitzvahs. Omri Iyov v'loi pirushoi, where did Iyov make mention of such a concept? The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Aruko me'eretz mida, it's longer than the earth, referring to Torah, urachava miniyam, and it's wider than the sea. So you see that also here, Iyov, referring to Torah and mitzvahs, he said that it's longer than earth and wider than the sea, but he didn't tell us what about Torah is so large. Omro Yecheskel v'loi pirushoi, Yecheskel also made mention of such a concept and also didn't explain it to us. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Vayifrois oisa lefonai, he spread it out. And here we're talking about a scroll of Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah. He spread it out before me. Vihi ksuva, and it was written, ponim v'ocher, it was inscribed on both sides, on the front of whatever this scroll was, whatever he'd spread out, and on the back. It was written on, it was double-sided. V'kosuv olea, v'kosuv eileha, and it was scribed in it three things. Kinim, which are lamentations, tzoris, peronios, vehege, rejoicing, simcha, vohi, and woe, which is also a type of tzar, a type of a pain. These three things were inscribed, amongst others, were inscribed in this scroll. Kinim, what does kinim referring to? Lamentations. Zu pur anuson shel tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. It's talking about the challenges that tzaddikim have in this world. And the reason that tzaddikim have challenges in this world is that even in the event that they transgress some averus, they should not get punished in the world to come. They should get their punishment in this world, and when they get to Olam Haba, they'll be a complete clean slate. V'cheinu oimer, where do we see the word kinim refers to peronios? Yeah, it says in the Pasuk, kinohi v'koina nuho, that it is a lamentation, and they shall lament it. So you see the word kino is used for being mekoinen, which is a type of a tzara. Vohege, the hege, the rejoicing, what rejoicing is, was mentioned. Zu matan schoron shel tzadikim la'osid lovo, is referring to the eternal reward of tzadikim in the world to come. V'cheinu oimer, and we find this in other psukim, alei higoyoin, Bechinoir, that the word higoyoin, which is the word vahege, the word higoyoin is used with ale higoyoin, with singing, bechinoir accompanied by a harp. So you see that higoyoin is referred to singing and rejoicing. Vohi, the word vohi meaning a woe, what is that? Zul puranuson sharoshoim laosid lovoi. This is the punishments that the Roshoim are going to get in the world to come. Where do we see the word vohi means a woe? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says, hoiva al hoiva tovoi. Hoiva means a calamity that came upon him and it came upon him again, and it's going to come on him. So you see that when we're talking about calamities, the word used, the term used is hoiva. So the word vohi, which is the same word, it means a calamity, it means a woe. And now we're going back to what we started discussing, the size of Torah, so to speak. Zachariah ben Idoi upirushoi. Zachariah ben Idoi, he explained to us exactly what it was about Torah that was so large. The Chassivit says in the Pasuk, Vayoymer Eli mo ataroya. This is Zachariah. He saw in a prophetic vision, a nevuah, he saw something and he was asked, what do you see? Vayoymer, and he said, Ani roya megillah ofo. I see a folded scroll. How large was this folded scroll? Orko esrim bo'amo v'rochbo eser bo'amo. This scroll was 20 amos long and 10 amos wide. And this was a scroll that had written on it Torah Shebalpeh, the oral Torah. We'll soon see more exactly what was written on here. V'chi poshtat lo, when he unfolded this folded scroll, it was obviously folded into two. If in a folded state it was 20 by 10, when it was unfolded, it's going to be 20 by 20. V'chiposhtas lo, havilo esrim be'esrim. It was 20 amos by 20 amos was this scroll. Uchsiv. And it says in the Pasuk, what do we know about this scroll? V'hi ksuva ponim v'ocher. That this scroll, as we mentioned before, was written on both sides, on the front of it and on the back of it. It was double-sided. V'chi kolaftlo, and if I were to peel it away, so to speak, if I would put both sides of text next to each other, kama havyalo, how large would it be? It would be twice 20 by 20. It would be arboin be'esrim, it would be 40 amos by 20 amos. That's how big this scroll was. Uchsiv, it says in another pasuk regarding the size of the world, the universe, it says, mi modad, who measured b'sha'oloi moim, with the sea, who measured the sea with his fist. V'shomayim, and the heavens, who measured it b'zeres tikein, he measured it with a span called a zeres, which is a measure called a zeres. How long was a zeres? Half an amma. So you see that the whole world was encapsulated in what we call a zeres, half an amma by half an amma. Nimtza kolo ilam kuloi, the whole world, which was a zeres, it was measured by a zeres, so to speak, Hashem zeres. It's a moshel, but so to speak. What is the ratio of a zeres, half an amma by half an amma, which is a quarter of a square amma? What is that in a ratio to 40 amos by 40 amos of this scroll? Nimtza kol olam kulo echad mishloishes alofim umosayim batayra. It's a ratio of 1 to 3,200, which means that the whole universe was 1 relative to the Torah, the Torah scroll, that was 3,200 times the size of the entire universe. So that's what it means that the Torah was very, very broad. Continues the Gemara. V'omar Rav Chisda. Another quote that Rav Chisda said, explaining a pasuk al derech remez from Mori Bar Mar. Dorish Mori Bar Mar. May dechsiv, it says in a pasuk, v'hinei shnei dudoi te'enim. There were two pots of figs. Mu'odim lifnei heichal Hashem. They were prepared before the heichal of Hashem. Hadud ha'echad te'enim toivois mo'id, ki te'enei habakurois. One pot had very high quality, very good figs in them, like the figs that ripened the first. Vahadud ha'echad te'enim rois mo'id, the other pot contained figs that were bad, ashaloi te'ochilno meroya, that they were so bad they could not be eaten. That's what it says in the Pasuk. And now the Gemara is going to explain what was it that Yirmiyah saw in this vision. Te'enim ha'toivois, Yirmiyah saw when he saw the good figs. What does that symbolize? What does that mean? Elu tzadikim gemurim. Those are the people who are entirely righteous. Ta'inim arois, the bad figs, elu roshoim gemurim, those are the entirely wicked. V'shema toimar, are you going to say, ovad sivram ubotal sikuyom, that there's no hope for these roshoim and there's no prospect for a brighter future? Talmud leima, no. Both of these pots, v'hadudoim, nos nureach, they both of them emitted a fragrance. There was something positive about both pots, even the pots with the very bad figs, even those that were resembling the Roshoim, something good will come of them. Eilu ve'eilu asidim she'it nureach. Both groups are destined, at the end of time, both of them are going to emit a fragrance. And now the Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit more. Dorash Rava, Mai Dichsiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk that we just mentioned now, Hadudoim Nos Nureach? And here the Dudoim, referred to by the literal translation, it was a type of a flower, Nos Nureach, they would give out a fragrance. Before we explain, the Dudoim is alluding to the two pots, which is also called a Dud, the two pots of figs that we mentioned earlier. But who are these Dudoim that are Nos Nureach? What is that referring to, according to Rava's explanation? Eilu Bachurei Yisrael, these are the young men of Klal Yisrael, Shloi Toam Utam Chet, that they never tasted the taste of Aveira. Va'al Psocheinu Kol Megodim, the Pasuk then Shir Hashirim continues. After it says, Hadudoim Nos Nureach, it says, Va'al Psocheinu, and at our doors, Kol Megodim, are all the fine fruits. Who are these fine fruits, so to speak, that are at our doors? Elu b'nois Yisrael, these refer to the daughters of Klal Yisrael, shemagidois pischeem lebaalein. There's something very fine about those that protect their doors. What are these doors? So the Gemara says this is referring to the pischei nido, that the when the women, when they see the dam nidois, then they tell their husbands that they are tomei to make sure that chas v'shalom they shouldn't do an aveira. Loshen achir, another interpretation. What are these doors, and how do these doors allude to the bnois Yisrael of the to the girls, the daughters of Klal Yisrael? She'oigdois pischeim lebalem, they protect their doors for their husbands, which means that besides for their husbands, they don't let anyone get anywhere near them. Continues the Gemara. What does it say? The next words in that pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Chadoshim gam yeshonim doidi tzofanti loch. Chadoshim, the new ones, gam yeshonim, as well as the old ones, doidi, my beloved one, tzofanti loch, I have hidden for you. So what's been hidden for our beloved one, referring to Hashem? Omro Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael said to Hashem as follows, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Harbe Gzeirois Gozarti Al Atzmi, you gave us the Torah, that was Yeshonim, those that was old, so to speak, but there's Chadoshim, there's new. What was new? These are the restrictions that I, Klal Yisrael, have imposed upon myself, Yoyso Mimashe Gozarto Elai, even more and beyond what you imposed on us in the Torah. V'kiyamtim, and I have adhered and kept to all those restrictions that I've imposed on myself. The reason I imposed those restrictions was to help me to stay with Yirat Shamayim and not Chas V'Shalom get close to doing Averus. And there's a number of examples of the types of restrictions that Klal Yisrael undertook in order to keep them safe and Chas V'Shalom not come to do anything, any Averus, against what it says in the Torah. Omar le'Rav Chisda la'hu mirabonon. Rav Chisda said to one of the Chachomim, which one of the Chachomim? Dehave kom asadir agadot kamei. There was one Chachom that used to arrange the agadois, the drashos on the psukim like this in front of Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda asked this Chachom, Mahu mi shemir lecho chadoshim gam yeshonim mahu. Did you hear ever, what does it mean, chadoshim v'gam yeshonim, that there's an old, there's something old, there's the old ones, there's the new ones, what does this mean? Omer le, so he told Rav Chisda, eilu mitzvois kalois ve'eilu mitzvois chamurois. The more lenient mitzvois, and now the more stringent mitzvahs. Omar Lezer of Chizda asked this Chacham, V'chi Torah pa'omim pa'omim nitno? I don't understand. Torah was given in stages, that there was an older ones and newer ones. There was first or second. There was one group which was the more lenient mitzvahs and others that are more the stringent ones. We don't find that Torah was given in groups like that, in parts, in stages. Elo halolu medivrei Torah v'halolu medivrei Sofrim. The old ones, those are all the halachas that are min ha-Torah, that are learnt out from psukim, that are either explicit in psukim or learnt out from the psukim using the rules, the 13 midos sha-Torah nidreshes behem, through which we learn halachas from the Torah. V'alolu medivrei Sofrim, the chadoshim, they are the decrees, the gzeiros midrabbanon, the rabbinical decrees that were added later on, as we saw before, that Klal Yisrael, they had self-imposed restrictions that the Chachomim imposed on them in order to protect them and keep them further away from Averis. And those were the Chadoshim. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Rava. Rava expounded on the following Pasuk. Maidich Siv, it says in the Pasuk, V'yoyser meheimo b'ni, and more than these, my son, he's Zohir, be careful. Asois Svarim Harbe, making many Sforim, many books, v'chulu, v'goymer, etc. What does that mean? B'ni, my son, hizoyer b'divrei Sofrim, yoyser medivrei Torah. When it says, his yoyser meheima b'ni hizoyer, even more than them, you should be careful, asois Sforim Harbe, what that means is that the Sforim, which is the Divrei Sofrim, which are the words of the sages, you should be more careful with them in a certain aspect, more careful with them, even more than the words that are written explicitly in the Torah. Shadivrei Torah, regarding the regular mitzvahs that we know in the Torah and Averis, yesh ben aseh, v'lois aseh, there are positive mitzvahs, and there are negative commandments, there are those mitzvahs you have to do, and those things you're not allowed to do. But many of them are not punishable by death. If you don't do a mitzvah, you're not punishable by death, almost across the board. If you do an avera, also there are many averas that if you transgress them, you're not punished by death. But kol oiver v'divrei sofrim, but when it comes to the words of the sages, kol oiver al divrei sofrim chayev misa, anyone that violates and doesn't and transgresses one of the gzeiros of the chachomim, he's chayev misa. Shema Toimer, are you going to say, im yesh bohem mamush, that if the words of these gezeiros of the Chachomim are so important, to the extent that if you transgress them, you're going to be punishable by death, mipnei ma'aloi nichtuvu, why were they not written in the Torah itself? Omar Kro, so the Pasuk responds to this, asois svarim harbe ein kates, that the words of the sages, these books, so to speak, the words of the sages, making of these books is ein kates, is without a limit. There's no end to the amount of sforim that would have to be written to encapsulate everything that the Chachomim stand for, and therefore they were not written in the Torah. But that doesn't mean that they are not less stringent, and violating one of the gzeiros of the Chachomim can have even worse effect than violating and transgressing an avera of the Torah. And the Pasuk continues, V'lahag harbe yegias bosor, literally translated that lag, harbe lag is study, lag harbe, very intense and a lot of study, yegias bosor, wears away the flesh. It causes a person to be weary when he's studying so much. Omar of Papa Breder of Achabar Adam Ishmeder of Achabaula. Melamed, from here we learn shekol hamalig, anyone who mocks Al divrei chachomim, the words of the chachomim, nidoin, is going to be punished with what? With yegi'as boso. So lahag is being translated similar as la'ag, with an ayin, which means to mock. V'la'ag harbe, if somebody mocks the chachomim, yegi'as boso is going to be judged with weariness of flesh. What does that mean? Betzoya roisachas, with boiling excrement. An excrement is the weariness, is the toil of flesh, and somebody who mocks the Chachomim, that's how he's going to be punished in the world to come. Maskif la Rava, Rava's challenging this, and he's asking, Miksiv la'ag, does the Pasuk say that v'la'ag harbeh, somebody who mocks much the Chachomim? It says lahag, lahag siv. Lahag means to study. A loshon of higoyin. Elo, the way you have to understand this Pasuk is as follows. Kol ha-hoyge bohen, anyone who studies the Divrei Torah, the words of the Torah, toyim tam boso. Not that it's a punishment, it's a reward. He's going to feel yegias boso. His flesh is going to feel tremendous pleasure. That means toyim tam boso, it tastes the flavor of meat, which means that even his physical body is going to get tremendous pleasure from toiling and studying a lot of Torah. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Maaseh b'Rabbi Akiva, there's a story regarding that happened to the Rabbi Akiva. Shehaya chovosh b'beis ha'asurim, he was imprisoned. V'hoya Rabbi Yeshua ha'garasi. Rabbi Yeshua from the place of Garasi. Masharosai, he was the one that was attending to Rabbi Akiva's needs while he was in prison. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim, every single day, hoyu machnisin lo'imayim b'mida. They would bring for Rabbi Akiva an exact measure of water that was enough to wash his hands and to drink. Yoyim echod, one day, motzo yishomer beis ha'asurim, the prison guard met or found this Rabbi Yeshua ha'garasi. Omar loy, the guard said to Yeshua ha'garasi, to Rabbi Yeshua ha'garasi, hayoyim meimecho merubim, you have too much water today. Shemo lachter beiso asurim atatzorich. Can it be that you're bringing in extra water in order to soften the soil of the prison, and that way you're going to dig your way out of the jail? Shofa chetzion, he spilt out half of the water. V'nosa nechetzion, and he gave Rabbi Yeshua back half of the water. Kishaboy to Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Yeshua came to Rabbi Akiva with only half the measure of water, Omar loy, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Yeshua, eina to yudea shezokinani, do you not know that I am old? V'chayai tluyim b'chayecho, and my life depends on your life? That means I'm dependent on you. Whatever you don't bring me to eat or drink, I won't have. And you've brought me too little water. Sochloi kol oisei hamo'eiro. Rabbi Yeshua recounted to Rabbi Akiva everything that happened to him. I brought you enough water. The guard took half of it away. Omalei, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yeshua ha'garasi, ten li mayim she'eto il yodai. Give me the water so that I can wash netilas yodayim before eating bread. Omalei, Rabbi Yeshua said to him, lishtois ein magin. There's not even enough water to drink. Litoil yodecho magin. Is then, do you have enough water? Can you afford to spare the water in order to wash your hands for Netilas Yudaim? So you won't wash for Netilas Yudaim. You haven't got, what can you do? You need to drink some water. And you haven't got water for Netilas Yudaim, so you haven't got water. Tosis here brings a Mishnah we saw earlier on, that for the camps, for the armies, they allowed them to be lenient with Netilas Yudaim. So Rabbi Akiva could have been lenient here. Omar Loi, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Mo ese, what can I do? Shechayovin olein misa. The Chachomim said, the Chachomim made a gezeira, you have to wash Netilas Yodayim. Why they made that gezeira and how that gezeira protects us from making tohir things tomei is discussed at length at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. But the Chachomim decreed, before you eat bread, you have to wash your hands. Omos misas atzmi. I'd rather I die myself on my own from thirst, because I cannot drink, because there's not enough water, rather v'loy avir aldas chaveray, and I will not transgress the will of my colleagues, which were the Chachomim, that the Chachomim said that you have to wash netilas yodayim. Omru, so they said, the Chachomim, so they said, loy toam klum, that Rabbi Akiva did not eat anything that day, ad shehevi loy mayim, until Rabbi Yeshua brought him water, v'not al yodov, and he washed his hands. That means it seems that he drank the water, but he couldn't eat any bread because he couldn't wash Netilas Yodayim. Kesheshomu Chachomim Bedova, when the Chachomim heard about this, Omru, they remarked, they said about Rabbi Akiva, Ma b'ziknusei kach, if in his old age, that's how he stood strong and didn't eat without washing, b'yaldusei alechas kama v'kama, even more so when he was younger and had more strength to endure, that he would have been machmir and not eaten without Netilas Yodayim. Umar bebeis asurim kach, and if in a prison cell this is how he's behaving and how he's being machmir, shaloi bebeis asurim, how much more so he must have been machmir when he was not in jail. Shaloi bebeis asurim al achas kama v'kama, even more. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, b'shor shetiken Shloima eruvin v'netilas yadayim. When Shloima Melech, he first established the halachas of making an eruv and the halachas of washing one's hands, then Yotza Baskoil v'omra, a heavenly voice came out and said as follows, and actually mentioned the pasuk, and the Basko, from the Baskoil it was clear that the pasuk was alluding to Shloima Melech. Bani, my son, im chochem libecho, if your heart is wise, yismach libi gam oni, then my heart will also rejoice with you. Va'omer, and another pasuk says, chacham bani, be wise, my son, v'samach libi, and my heart will be glad, va'oshiva chorfi dovo, and I will answer something to all those that disgrace me. And these are two psukim that are referring to Chacham Bani, to a very wise son, referring to Shloima Melech, who was very wise when he made, when he established these halachas, these gezeiros of Eruv and Netilas Yodaim. And Shloima Melech actually established some more Durabonons, some more halachas, but this Baskoil obviously came out from the, it seems from the Gemara that the Baskoil emanated before he established those extra halachas, and he had only established at that point Eruv and Netilas Yodaim. Continues the Gemara Dorash Rava, Maidich Sivun, it says a pasuk in Shir Ashirim, Lecho Doidi, come my beloved one, Neitze Hasode, let's go out to the fields, Nolino Bakforim, let's lodge in the villages, Nashkimo Lakromim, let's arise early to the vineyards, Nire, and let us see, Imporcho Hagefen, if the vine has flowered, Pitach Hasmodar, if the grape blossoms have already opened, Heinetsu Horimoinim, if the pomegranates are already in bloom, Shom Etein Es Doidai Loch, and there I will give my love to you. That's the literal translation of this pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And Rava is now going to explain this pasuk piece by piece. L'cho doidi neitze asode. Come, my beloved one, let's go out to the field. What was going on? What was Klal Yisrael trying to impress and to say to Hashem? Omro Knesses Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Al tadineni k'yoshvei krochim. Don't judge me or compare me like the residents of the cities. Because that's what it says. Neitze hasode. We're not like those that live in the cities. Sheyeshbuen, what happens to the people in the cities? That they have gezel, theft, va'aroyos, immorality, ushvuas shof, and they make vain oaths, ushvuas shekel, they make false oaths. Rather, neitze hasode. You want to really see our true colors of Klal Yisrael? Don't look at us like you look at the people in the cities. Come to the fields. What are you going to see in the fields? Neitze asode. Bo v'erech, I'll come and I will show you Talmidei Chachomim. I'll show you the Talmidei Chachomim sho'iskim b'toyra mitoich hadchak. They're in the fields, they're working hard, they hardly have any livelihood, any money, and nonetheless they are toiling hard on Torah study. Sho'iskim b'toyra mitoich hadchak. That's what Klal Yisrael was telling Hashem. Come and see how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. Nolino bat kforim. Let's lodge in the villages. Al tikro bat kforim. Don't read it. Al derech remez. Don't read it bat kforim, which means the villages. Rather, elo bat kofrim. You should read it that it means that let's lodge amongst the disbelievers, the kofrim. Boi v'erecha oisom sheshbato lehem toiva. Let me show you what happens to those that you have showered upon them prosperity. Vehim kofru b'cha. And nonetheless, they have denied you, they have been kofar in Hashem. That's what it says, Nolinu b'kofrim. Let's go and lodge amongst the kofrim. You'll see that the kofrim, they have lots of prosperity, and nonetheless, they are going against you. Nashkimo lakromim. Let's arise early to the vineyards. What are these vineyards? Elu bote knesiois ubote medroshes. These are the place of the shuls and the bote medrash where people learn Torah. What are you going to see there? Nire, let's see in Porcho Agefen if the vine has flowered. Elu bali amikra. Those are people who are learning psukim, Torah shebichtav. Pisach asmodar, let's see if the grape blossoms have already opened. Elu bali amishna. These are those that are learning the Torah shebal peh, they're learning the Mishnayis. Hey neitzu harimoinim, let's see if the pomegranates are already in bloom. Elu bali gemara. This refers to those who are learning Gemara, which means those who are learning the reasonings and the deeper understandings to all the halachas of the Torah shebal peh. Shom etein es doidai loch, and there I will give my love to you. What does that mean? Erech kvoidi, I'll show you my glory, v'goidli, and my greatness. Shevach bonai ubnoisai, the praise of my sons and daughters. This is Knesset Yisrael, the representative of the whole of Klal Yisrael, talking to Hashem. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Amnuna. And we're now going back to Shlomo HaMelech, that we started before, with Shlomo HaMelech being very wise, that he established those halachas of Eruv and Netilas Yudaim. Maidichsiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk, Vayedabir, and he spoke Shloishes Alofim Moshel, 3,000 parables, Vayehi Shiroi Chamisha Va'olef, and his songs were 1,005. Melamed, this teaches us, Sheomar Shlomo, Al kol dover v'dover. Shlomo HaMelech said on every single thing, Shel Torah, every word of Torah, he said, Shloishes alofim moshel, 3,000 parables for every concept in Torah. Al kol dover v'dover shel soifrim, and for every concept or every halacha that was medivrei soifrim, that was established by the Chachomim, the new halachas, chamisha v'elef taimim, he would give 1,005 reasons and explanations to explain the gzeiros of the Chachomim. Dorash Rava. Rava expounded, Maidich Siv, when it says in the Pasuk, V'yoyser shahoyo keheles chacham, and besides for being very wise, referring to Shlomo HaMelech, Oid limeid das es ha'om, he taught, keheles, referring to Shlomo HaMelech, he taught das, he taught knowledge to the people, V'izein, V'chikir, V'izen means, Oizen is an ear, he listened, V'chikir, and he sought out, V'tikain, and he arranged, Mesholim harbe, many Mesholim, parables, proverbs, that's what it says in the Pasuk. And now Rav is going to explain this Pasuk. Limeid das hasa'om, what does it mean that Shlomo HaMelech taught knowledge to the people? Da'ogmerei b'simonei tamim. There are what we call tamim, which are the symbols of the cantillation, the trop, we often call it. And he taught the people the tamim, the way to sing Torah. And this is also Torah Shebichtav and also Torah Shebal Peh. It used to be sung and it had to be phrased right in order to be understood right. V'azbara b'may d'domile. And he explained it with d'domile, analogies. You try to explain one concept by comparing it to another concept. That's how Shlomo HaMelech would teach the people. Ve'izein v'chikir tikein mesholim harbe. He listened, sought out, and arranged many proverbs. Omer ula, omer ebeloza. B'tchilo hoisa Torah doima lekfifa she'en la'oznaim. Initially, Torah was compared to a basket that had no handles. Until Shlomo HaMelech came v'osol oznaim, and he made handles for it. The Torah shebichtav, or the laws, even Torah shebal peh, but the halachis, the mitzvahs, and yisurim min ha-Torah, they are compared to a basket with no handles, and you have no way of grasping it. It can fall. However, when you make handles, then you can hold and protect the basket well. Shlomo HaMelech, by establishing new gezeiros of Eruv and the Tilas Yodayim and Shniyos La'arayos and the other things that Shlomo HaMelech established, that way he protected the Torah. He kept Klal Yisrael away from transgressing the Torah. It's compared to making handles for the Torah. And these handles are called Oznaim la Torah. They are like ears, making handles for them, are similar to the word Ve'izain, means making handles. Continues the Gemara. Kvutzoisov Taltalim. There's another pasuk in Shir Hashirim that speaks about Klal Yisrael and says that Kvutzoisov, his hair locks, were Taltalim. They were wavy. What does that mean? Omer of Chizda, Omer Mar Ukva. Melamed sheyesh lidroish al kol koitz vekoitz tilei tilim shel halochis. Taltalim means wavy, means curled. However, in Remez, the way it was learned, Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva that taltalim can also mean tilei tilim. A tail is a heap, heaps and heaps, which means that from every single point of the letters of the Torah, you can learn heaps and heaps of halochas. The Apostle continues, Shchoyrois ka'oyrev. The Klal Yisrael are compared, they are black as a raven. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to black like a raven? B'mi atomaitzon, who will you find this level of learning Torah, which are kvutzois of taltalim, they can learn so many halachas from every point of every letter in the Torah. It's only b'mi, from somebody, Shemashkim umariv. When the pasuk says that it's shchoyrois ka'oyrev, means black like a raven. Shchoyrois means black, but it can also mean shacharis, the morning. Oyrev can mean a raven. It can also mean erev, in the evening. So in Remez, the pasuk is saying, who are the people that can learn so much Torah? Kvutzois of taltalim, those that are in the Beis Hamedrash. They come early in the morning and they stay till late at night. From early in the Shacharis to late in Ma'ariv, they're learning Hashem's Torah. Rabba Omar, Rabba says that these are Talmidei Chachomim, b'mishe mashchir ponov aleim ka'oyrev, is somebody who is so diligently learning Torah that his face becomes blackened like a raven from exhaustion of learning Torah. Rava Omar, Rava gives another explanation. B'misha meisim atzmoi achzori al bonov al b'nei beisoi ka'oyrev. There's somebody who is so diligently learning that in a certain aspect he becomes cruel like a raven to his children. Sometimes you have to go to the Beis HaMedrash, you have to leave the home, leave your family and children in order to sit and learn Torah, even though you've neglected them somewhat. Kihadar of Adabar Masna. This was exemplified with an incident with Adabar Masna. Have a ka'ozil lebeirav. He was going to the home of his Rebbe. He was going to the home of Torah, to Beis HaMedrash. Omro le debisu. His wife asked him, Yenuke didoch, your little children, my evid lehu. What should I do for them? How am I going to feed them if you're going away to learn Torah? Omar lo, he said to her, Mishlimu kurme ba'agma, are there no more wild vegetables growing in the marsh? I'm sure if you go out and you look for some food, you'll find some food. So of course he didn't neglect them, and of course the best thing he could have done for his family was to go and learn Torah. But on one level, it looks as if he has to neglect the physical needs of his family somewhat in order to go and learn Torah. That's the level of diligence needed to learn Torah to become a Talmud Chacham of that stature. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.